Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, yeah, a lot of mother died in operas and shit falling off stage, man. So,
I did not know that, yeah, man. I love to hear that.
That's some opera lore.
That takes it to the next level.
Yeah, because that pit, that's up now. If I go to opera, that's all I'm going to be thinking. Like, am I going to see a nigga die in this bitch?
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax your eye right now while your mate studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax your eye right now while your mate studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, Del? Coming to y'all live from Austin, Texas, here at Wild Mate Studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all doing, fellas?
Great, Danny. Good to have you here.
How's it going, Danny?
It's great, man. We got the genius in the house.
Stop,
we got Oliver
stop.
Tree, man. How you doing,
I'm
brother?
I'm doing amazing. Stoked to be here. I love the theme song, by the way. That's hard, bro. I think only the person who had a theme song on their show was T-Pain that I've been on. So I'm always, when I'm hearing that, I'm like, you're on the next level.
I've done a few theme songs, man. I had to Fresh Off the Boat. I did a.
That's hard.
I think I did something else. I don't know, man. But
your own theme song. I mean, nothing better than that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I can get a chance to rap, I'm like, fuck it, let me do this shit. You know what I'm saying? So, how you doing, man?
I'm so good, bro. I'm stoked to be here. Longtime fan.
Oh, really?
It's just, yeah, it's something. I was just stoked to hear that we could link up and say hello.
Likewise, man.
It's an honor.
I've been fucking with your shit for a minute, man. Like, one thing I can say about you, man, like, I always respect anybody that puts so much into the visual part of the music, man. Like,
you.
Your videos is fucking insane, man. Like, how the fuck do you do it, man?
I don't have a life outside of art, you know? So, pretty much just sacrifice. And then, you know, in crazy debt with the label.
Yeah,
that's the other
same
one.
Here,
yeah,
same
yeah.
here.
I think
we
every
brothers.
Artist, so it doesn't
We're
change.
Brothers.
Yeah. But yeah, for me also just being very hands-on with everything I write and direct and produce the music videos. And I started having to really be hands-on with the production because producers were just taking, I was the golden goose. They were just taking all the cash, pocketing it. And then the video would be like so fucking expensive and then the quality would be diminished and you could see they would get a Tesla or they would get a new house under the Hollywood sign.
Wow.
And the production value was not going into the on-camera into the screen. It was just going into people's pockets. And so I was
But
like,
you've always produced though, didn't you?
Yeah, I always produced on the videos. I produce on the music as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I'm talking about the music too.
But yeah. But I'm talking about film production.
Oh,
that's
oh,
how
okay,
I can
okay.
assure the quality, you know? It's like every micro detail. You have to be like hyper obsessive.
As a person like me, I definitely respect it because I hate shooting videos, man.
Yeah,
I really do.
Weird.
It's one of those things. I mean, I think you just like you said, you got to have that love for film and
yeah.
shit like that. But videos are so fucking just hearing a song over and over again. And then I started second guessing myself, like, is this the right song? Did we pick the right song? Or
by the time you mix a song, you're just so sick of it. And then you get to the music video process, you're like, what did we do? We should have picked another one.
But and I always want my videos to be cool too.
Yeah.
You know, like I really cause
how hands on are you with the videos?
I'm not at all. I take no credit for it at all. I just get treatments.
Yeah.
And then
and
I just
you,
pick
and you
the best treatment.
It. But
yeah.
do you read the treatment or you're like
no, I read the treatment.
Because I've people I know that just don't even bother, and then they see the video, like, what the fuck is this? And
no.
they're like, you should have read the treatment, dude.
I read the treatment just in case the motherfuckers want me to take my shirt off or something. I'd be like, oh shit, I didn't sign up for this. So yeah, I read the treatments and I always just try to pick the coolest shit. And
yeah.
But then every time when I'm doing it, I'm always like, fuck, when it's a fucking 12-hour day.
Yeah.
Fucking like the Tantra video I did, like wearing that fucking metal suit, shit was stabbing me. I left with so many bruises, nicks. But the video came out good, so I'm always like, you know, I'm happy. Like, the last video I put out was just, like, clay animation.
Yeah, that shit was hard.
And that one, I just had to show up and just, you know, do yeah. the facial shit.
For me, if I don't bleed, if I'm not hurt and physically sore the next day, it was not an Oliver Tree video. So for me, that's an essential component. I have to suffer for the art.
Everything about your shit, though, I feel like is artistic as fuck. Like, even with the fashion and shit.
Thank
and all
you,
that shit,
I design all my own outfits,
yeah.
and so I have some fun with it.
So you're just a talented motherfucker,
well,
man.
I'm basically jack of all trades, master of none, not good at anything. Just do everything, you know?
So what's the process like when you sit down to get ready to, like, record an album? Like, I know you're, like, super hands-on with the production and everything, but it's like, Like, what is the process like? Like, how do you even, because every time I hear your shit, I'm like, how the fuck do we come up with this shit? Yeah, so I'm always fucking amazed just to hear people's process, man.
Yeah, for me, the process is never consistent. The first album I made was very much improvised based. So it always starts with some instruments. I never take a beat. I'm always making the thing from scratch. So whether it's me or if there's another instrumentalist that's better, I'll let them take the reins sometimes. But for example, the first album, very improvised based. So we start with just like getting a little, you know, either guitar or piano part and have a drum loop on it. And then I'll write. And for that album, I pretty much didn't write. I just improvised it. And then I was kind of fine tuning lyrics and trying to make something out of it. And then what happened was for the second album, I looked at the success of the first album and I was like, all the ones that I really wrote and were less improv based, those ones were the ones that went platinum. So I was oh, maybe. And that's what I thought. Maybe that wasn't even true, but that's my memory of it. It was a little more crafted. Everything was, because I noticed there was songs when I was freestyling everything that it was like, this didn't really have much of a meaning. It didn't really, like, there wasn't as much of a message. And I feel like that's where I fell short. And the ones that really hit, maybe it was still improv based, but in my mind, it was like, this was a well-crafted idea. It was a concept that really, like, hit with people. So when I went back to the drawing board for the second album, everything was meticulously written. I kind of stopped improvising as much. Of course, you improv to get the melodies and whatnot. But then for the third album, I was like, all right, I want to pretty much play all the instruments. So I played, like, around 80% of the instruments on album three, which was the new album I put out, Alone in a Crowd, which I'm really proud on as an instrumentalist, to play most of the guitar, the piano, the bass, the synths. And, you know, there are songs where I produced the beat myself, but I used to produce all my beats and I got just bored and lonely making music by myself. I was like, this shit is fucking boring. After like 3 years of just sitting in a room by yourself, you're like, I kind of want to just hang with the homies and make music with them. It was way more fun. And, you know, I have the punk ethos, which I notice you have that as well, which is just like a mentality for me. It's not a way you necessarily need to present yourself, but you came in with the leather jacket. I recognize you got some, I got the fucking haircut, bro. Like, it's not even a punk haircut, but punk is not giving a fuck. Punk is a lot of things. But for me, like, one of the concepts of punk was like, if you're not going to do it, the guy down the street is. And I grew up with my homie Casey Mattson, who's in my band. And this dude, he's like a genius jazz pianist, and I realized it doesn't have to be you or the guy down the street. You could do it with the guy down the street. So that was something I was really stoked on. But yeah, punk is just it's a mindset. It's like, you know, making a corporation just to take the money from the other corporations. There's so many different versions of what punk can be. Hip-hop is punk in so many different ways. Yeah, you know, there's so many different, you know, it's just like the word pop. It's like people are like, oh, pop music, they think bubblegum pop, but like Kendrick Lamar could be pop.
Yeah,
you know what
definitely.
I mean? Pop's short for pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, popular.
It's popular,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it could be anything. So like, I don't like loose, I say terms very loosely.
That's why I always struggle with fucking names of genres and shit, because I mean, with hip-hop, it's not really, we don't get, you know, people consider me to be alternative rap.
Right,
like, what
right.
the fuck does alternative rap mean? Does that mean just not popular? Like,
right.
It's just the alternate of not being successful? Like, what the fuck do you mean?
I know the feeling because they call me alternative pop. And so for me, it's just like, yeah, I'm just not popular pop music.
Like, that's so weird to me. But I'm starting to get more hands-on with my production.
I love
that's
it.
That's what, I mean, I always made beats, but I just never really felt like my beats were good enough for me to rap on. Somebody can do it better.
So was the JPEG Mafia album?
No, he did everything. He produced all fucking, that? He's a fucking
that
genius.
That shit's crazy.
He's
man.
A psycho. Like, that, working with Peggy was like, I think I learned a lot. You know, like, that's one thing everybody that I work with always try to, I feel like I leave out of that process. It's like going to war.
Yeah,
you leave out of there a little battle scarred somewhere and you learn in the process, man. So it was amazing to work on that album and the tour with him and everything, man. I just seen he's with fucking Kanye the other day.
Yeah,
I'm like,
crazy.
You see, that's how it goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I had a flight with him to New Zealand and I was trying to connect with him, but we kind of were both just, we missed each other, but I fuck with him. He's a legend.
Yeah, man, that's so crazy that I wouldn't even expect that you even knew who the fuck I was. I was
of
like,
course,
oh, shit,
bro.
Man.
I texted you before this, but I said, you know, I've known since growing up.
Yeah.
Like the XXX album. Like, I've been watching your come up since,
thank
like,
you, man.
You know, it's what? You put out the first album like
2011.
14 years ago, 13 years ago. So it's like, I've been watching your arrival, bro. I missed the single too. Where's the tooth, bro?
I know,
that shit was hard.
I know, man.
And
that
the hair, too. You
that
were fully
punk.
You were like on your emo tip at that era, too, with the hair. Dude, and I love That's why I asked about the videos too. That grown up videos, it's resonated with me so much. That little kid singing, and he had the hair. What I happened to the hair, dude? You lost it all, man.
I feel so old now.
You went Hollywood. But you look younger than ever. That's the funniest part.
That little kid is grown as fuck now. Like he's
you
got to
do something else with him, dude. Does he look like you, or he just turned? He's someone else now.
He actually was in that Tracy Morgan TV show.
Crazy.
He's the Darius. Shouts out Darius. But yeah, man. I mean, fucking Darius Dante. But see, that's how I go. I'm getting old, man.
Well,
fucking...
you look like. What are you using on the? What's the skin regimen? You look like a baby, dude.
I got a process. You know
what
you gotta
do? Because I do nothing.
You got to exfoliate a lot.
Okay, so what does that entail?
That's what I mean.
Is
I got
like sandpaper.
I got I got the wipes. You know, you gotta hit that
got
every
baby
night.
Wipes?
You know, but you know the thing is, my girl is a she. What's the fuck that skin? A fucking. I don't know. She's gonna be
mad. Esthetician.
Yeah, she's an esthetician. So for me to have bad skin, she would hate me, you know? Like even we were in Vegas, I went to go see U2 at the Sphere.
You like U2?
Not a U2 fan at all.
How'd you just wanted to go to the Sphere?
That's what she wanted to do for Christmas. So I got her at that as the Christmas gift, and we went, and the visuals and shit, that shit was nice, but I think they got to figure out the way to get the sound together in there. It didn't sound, I don't know U2 songs like that.
All I know is they gave that one, they made everyone download that one album. That's next level, dude. That's something we should be doing. We should be thinking on that level.
But when
you
we
just
were there,
forced the album on the world.
When we were there, I was like, I took the hotel lotion and I put that shit on my face. It was like scented and shit. She freaked the fuck out. Like, you can't put that shit on your face. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know. And then literally when she was like, you're gonna get a pimple, like right before we left, I had a fucking pimple. I'm like, she know her skin shit, man. So I gotta take her advice, man. But yeah, exfoliating. Just you gotta clean your shit like 2 times a day, man. But I really think I just look better because I'm not fucked up no more.
Yep.
You know, just
and you're
not,
fully sober.
Yeah, I don't even smoke weed no more.
Congrats.
I mean, after fucking, I would say over 20 years of fucking doing drugs and drinking every day, man, I can definitely see that something that I thought was helping me just was making everything else harder. You know, 100%. it'll be a year this April. So I'm still
hats off to you, man.
Still a newborn with it. That's why I was like, I wish I could fucking go hang out with you tonight, man. But I feel so awkward. Being in like nightclubs and shit now.
I hate nightclubs, I'll be honest with you. I hate parties. I'm sober as well, so like it's the last place I want to go. But since I'm playing a show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you get paid to be there. And that's another thing too. I'm getting paid. I'm there, you know?
Yeah,
You're
stoked to be there.
I'm stoked to be there.
Now it's a good time.
But that was the whole thing with going to fucking U2. I'm like, man, I don't like getting on planes unless I'm getting paid for it, man.
No,
like,
sure.
Just to fucking go and spend money. Then the Lions lost, and I lost all my money betting on them.
Oh, man. Oh,
I was
fucking
pissed, man.
That's rough.
But yeah, man, but we were talking, you was like, man, I just love playing fucking shows.
I know.
Man.
I said, dude, I'd play for three people in the middle of a snowstorm at 6 a.m. if I got the chance. I just was in Antarctica. I played 3 sets out there.
Oh, shit.
There was like 20 people, bro. It was sick. I had the best time of my life.
Fucking Antarctica, man. What's it like? I thought it was like, ain't they always got like conspiracy theories?
Yeah,
about
I found some
shit?
Of the shit, bro. I think I found the wall that surrounds the Earth. Basically, I'm not a flat earther, but I think I might be kind of. After seeing this wall, bro.
You really seen the shit?
I seen the shit, bro. I filmed a documentary. I got footage.
Okay.
And also, I seen this this pyramid, which I believe is from an ancient civilization from a 15th century map I was looking at. And it looks like there's potential of an entire iced out civilization that's like 10,000 to 15,000 years old. Mm. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think I found an actual entranceway to an alien base that goes into the hollow earth, bro. Agartha. I'm pretty sure I found this shit.
Fuck, man.
I can't guarantee everything, but I have a documentary I filmed in Antarctica. So
it's a new pyramid. No one knew that this existed to now?
I don't know, bro. I don't know the exact specifics of anything, but I did a little, you know, I climbed the wall. I climbed the fucking wall, bro. I have footage of me climbing this fucking wall.
God damn, man.
So it will come out later.
How long is that flight?
Well, you have to go in through, there's different entrance points, but I went in through Chile. So I was in South America for a bit. I hit all 7 continents in 2.5 months, but I just kept traveling.
Oh, shit.
So I just been on one. Like,
that's great. That sounds fun, man.
It's been epic. I don't live anywhere. The reason why I was late today was because I was trying to fit, everything I own fits into a suitcase, a carry-on suitcase. And I was literally had to put my stomach on top of the suitcase to try to close this fucking thing. I was like trying to force it in there, jamming stuff. And yeah, I mean, I've been wearing the same pair of pants for 4.5 months.
Oh, I've been there.
They have a fat hole in them, dude, right in my crotch.
I've been there.
I have to check every so often to make sure nothing falls out.
I used to tour. I used to just fucking like bring like three outfits and just alternate them bitches and wash them at the hotel and shit like that. Because motherfuckers thought I wasn't washing my clothes. I wasn't a stinky, nasty motherfucker like that. I was washing my shit. All right, we'll hop into some of these.
Well, dude, you can wear the same pair of underwear four ways. They taught me this in Brazil.
Oh, no, that's...
You can flip it around. You can turn it inside out and flip it around again. Yes, bro.
I'll just free ball at that point, man. Like, fuck it, man. All right, next up, we'll hop into some of these Ask Dannys, man. You can always hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. It's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. All right, first up, we got Incognito Balls.
Ask Danny.
Hey, Danny, I went on a date with this chick. She's a 24-year-old model who lives only a few blocks away from me. I took her on a date to a bar where we had drinks. It was a fantastic date, so we went back to her house to make whoopee. I pulled down her pants only to find out she had a full cock and balls. I have nothing against transgender people, but she forgot to tell me she was, so naturally I was shocked since that wasn't obvious to me. We ended up not doing anything, and I still stayed the night to watch the movie, but left promptly in the morning. I really did have a great time with this girl, so I don't know what to do. How do I handle this situation? Piss on me, beat on me, griffy. You know how I feel. Trans people are my friends. Transphobes can catch these hands. So, I mean, you got to let a motherfucker know what it is. But, I mean, I think you liked her, man. You ain't noticed nothing. I mean, I don't know, man. If you like her, you got to go with what your heart tells you to do.
You liked her enough to stay the night?
Yeah, you stayed the night. I think you hit. I ain't even going to lie. Because if you wasn't with that shit, your ass would have left. You would have been like, you would have been shocked. You would have been fucking, you wouldn't know what to do. Like, your life is over. Like, oh, fuck that shit. I'm out of here. So I think you was down with it. So, you know, you just got to go ahead and just be, you know, it's 2024, man. You know, times have changed, man. But if she, I mean, maybe she thought you knew. That's why she didn't tell you, motherfucker. She like, nigga, it's obvious. What the fuck is wrong with you? So if you didn't see it, then you liked it, man. That's all that is. What you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, that song's hard, bro. That's an anthem right there. I heard that shit before. I think you got to make the remix, though,
dude. Yeah, I seen that shit on TikTok one time. I was like, this shit, he was on stage before, but that shit, I was like, this shit is fire.
Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers who deposit $5 or more can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 back in a bonus bet. One thing I can say about DraftKings is just so fun to play, man. It's like watching a game inside a game, man. You can always put down on your favorite players, man, so you got something to root for more than just a team. Download DraftKings Sports app now and use code DANNYB. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 if your first bet loses. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code DANNYB. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over the middle seat? Easy. Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million order stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify is great for up and coming and starting businesses, man. It's so easy just to get your stuff online and sell to anyone. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds and Brooklyn and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DannyB, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/DannyB now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/DannyB.
All right, next up we got Banging Beatles. Do you fuck with the Beatles? Paul Crean. I think everybody has to. You got to have a Beatles stage if you fucking make music. So I definitely went down a rabbit hole of what the Beatles did, you know, and went through their whole shit. I can't say. I guess my favorite album would be Sgt. Pepper's just because I know the lore and the story behind it and all that shit. But I know a lot of people, you know, white album fans, man, they always tell me that that's the best Beatles album. But I can't say I'm just sitting around bumping the Beatles. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, I think somebody, you know, if you just saw me chilling, listening to the Beatles, they'd be like, are you okay? Like, is something wrong with you, you know? But the Beatles, I mean, stand the test of time, man. I seen the documentary they got. I'm really more infatuated with Lennon, if anything, and that whole Yoko Ono saga. I really feel
What about it stands out to you?
How bits just affect everything, man. You know what I'm saying? She just could take over and just turn your whole shit over. And, you know, but yeah, as far
but
as
they kind of did it. They did the whole Beatles thing. How long did it need to go? At a certain point, does it start to go downhill? Did they get out at the right moment?
I really just like the whole shit of how they started off as like this boy band type shit. And then they, like you say, they went on some punk shit. They went rogue. Yeah. Like, no, we about to do what the fuck we want to do.
And then they went full LSD, Magic School Bus
You know, like, so... I definitely, you know, I think I'm more infatuated with the story of the Beatles than the actual music,
100%.
You know, and I think everybody, I like love watching music documentaries and seeing how people did it before, you know, and just be like, you always look at them shits and you be like, man, this shit ain't really too much different than what it always was. Music is always music. And I like listening to older shit because we always feel like we being so creative and we doing something new.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
nothing new under the sun. Like once you do your homework, you be like, this motherfucker did it before.
One thing I admire about the Beatles and like looking at their come up was like they didn't really, there wasn't really the infrastructure for shows to become that big. And so it caused like mass hysteria, pandemonium, and like they didn't know how to really handle it. Nowadays, people play stadiums all the time, but I feel like they were kind of in the early stages of like the mania that surrounded it. I don't know if there really will be anything like that. I mean, obviously it came like Michael Jackson. There was waves after that. But ultimately, like, the roads would, like, shut down because there were so many people, like, trying to stand outside of this, like, baseball stadium or whatever it was. It caused, like, serious hysteria. Nowadays, it's like, there's hysteria, but the roads can be cleared. People still can go to work or whatever. They were, like, shutting shit down because it was so next level.
Yeah, I don't think nothing would ever be like that again. I guess a fucking YouTuber or something like that.
Mr. Beast
Mr. Beast come through. He gonna shut shit down, you know? All right. But yeah, I always get like, you know, music rabbit holes and every, and recently I followed George Clinton because he just now got his star in Hollywood. I was like, that's so fucking dope. And now he's seen he had an Instagram and I followed him and he followed me back. I was like, shit. So I just been listening to Parliament and shit going crazy, man. Shouts out to George Clinton, man.
He's a genius.
Man, everything, man, with fucking maggot brain, man. Like, that's like, I feel like when we talk about some type of musicians and shit, we be like, man, people that's underrated and shit. I definitely feel like George Clinton and Parliament is underrated. Because they just bleed it in so many genres, like from rock. They pretty much inspired the whole West Coast hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole Dr. Dre shit. All right. Next up, we got video game drip. Hey, Danny, what video game has the best cosmetics in terms of characters, clothing, or armor? Isaac Brown, are you a video game guy?
Well, it depends who's asking. Because if you're a video game company, yeah, I play all the time. But personally, I don't live anywhere, so like I don't really have any kind of games. You
can
know?
Get a Steam Deck.
What's that?
Steam Deck is a handheld PC is the best.
Okay.
That's I've actually, ever since I had a Steam Deck up, I play mostly my games on PC. I got all the fucking, that's the Steam Deck. That's like, okay. Yeah, but Steam Deck, man, they're great, man. They're best for the planes. And they're fucking coming out with a new one that's fucking HD and all that shit.
You sound
man.
Mad.
Pissed off. Yeah, because I bought the first edition, man. That's just how everything is, man. You get the first edition of shit, then they come out with a new, better one. It's like, man, I'm not about to buy another fucking Steam Deck, man. But as far as like video game drip, man, you know I'm NBA 2K motherfucker, and they got like real clothes and shit. So I would go with them, man. You can wear like fucking Givenchy and shit. I don't know, but I'm just saying they got the big red boots in there, you know. But yeah, 2K, even though you're going to pay the actual real price of the fucking clothes in real life that you would buy in a fucking game. But I started playing Liza P, man. You told me to try it out, man.
Yeah, how is it?
I actually think it's I'm about to say a hot take. I actually think it's better than Elden Ring a little bit, man.
I mean, yeah.
I actually think it's better than Elden Ring a little bit, but I'm very excited for video games today. It's like an artistic thing with me too. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times we're talking about our processes and shit. But sometimes with me, I just put a beat on and I'll sit there and I play the game and the beat's just in the background and before I know it, lines would just start.
I love that.
And then I would just start writing. I guess it's something to keep my, I guess I'm like ADHD. I probably don't have that. I just took so much Adderall and now I have it. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really just sit down and do shit. But I have been making a lot of beats and shit, man. So that's been that been holding up my time, man. They're actually, man, I'm so excited, man. I think the landscape of beat making is about to change forever. They're actually coming out with an MPC stems where you're going to be able to take samples and be able to take out drums, take out the bass, take out the melody. So you're going to be able to, because, you know, sometimes you get samples and shit and you chop them up and then that snare's still there. You're like, fuck, and you using kill EQs and shit to try to take shit out, and that shit don't really be working all that way. So just to be able to take, I know a lot of people gonna go back to older sample shit that they sampled already, and you'll be able to just take, because me, I suck at bass lines. That's like my fucking, I can't, yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm almost, now I haven't been really making, I sit down and I make a beat and I be like, man, wait till stems come out, man. This shit is gonna be a whole new ball game. So I'm so fucking excited about that. As far as like producing and shit, it's just, what you was just like all live instrumentation and shit.
It always varies. Like I was just recording in Antarctica and in China in some hotel rooms, and it's like, you don't have live instruments with you. So you just work with what you can, use VSTs. Even splice is great to chop up and find, you know, free audio to work with, and then try to flip it and make it your own. And then I'll sometimes strip that stuff out if I want to use the song and then play some instruments on top.
That's what I think is the best thing to do. That's how I feel about my beats. Like, most of them, I probably want to get them, because just with clearing samples and shit.
That's the thing I was going to ask about, where you stand on samples, because I don't even, I've never even used the sample for the Oliver Tree project, because I'm just like so terrified of the idea. From a publishing standpoint, from us all stuff, and I know that it's probably withheld some really cool music, but ultimately I'm like, I think we could just play this shit, make something similar, you know?
With one album, I spent damn near $70,000.
That's crazy.
In sample clearances. Now, I definitely don't be having $70,000. That's what we talk about. We're still in debt with the label. But the reason why I did that, man, one of my homies, the Alchemist producer.
Yeah, he's a legend. He's insane.
Yeah, he's my favorite beat maker. Like, and he was just like, man, fuck that shit, man. Don't think about that shit. Just make the music, and whatever happens after that, just let it happen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just started going with that mentality. So I still stick with the guns with that shit. But nowadays, you know, it's so easier to find, like, music from, like, other countries and shit. Because what we don't know is that, you know, you want to sample some soul shit. It was like they was making soul shit in Korea somewhere. That shit sound just like, you know, it came from Detroit or some shit. So just finding those, like, overseas albums and shit like that, and using those kind of samples, and, you know, Russian samples and shit like, they ain't gotta clear that shit. They ain't gonna find me, you know what I'm saying? So, but or I remember when we did you know what I'm saying, and Q-Tip, he had sampled some record that was like a front for like some mobster business type shit. And he just like started a record company to fucking like you know, like sneaky funds type shit, like to just like, what do you call that shit, like hiding his money type shit, but it wasn't
laundering.
Even laundering. Yeah, he had started a record label just like launder money and shit. So we didn't even have to clear the sample for that shit. It was so fucking dope.
That's crazy. And he actually made some heat?
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite songs I made, called Combat.
And you did it with Q-Tip?
Yeah, Q-Tip had, he produced
How was working with him? Did you get to work in the room with him?
Yeah, I was with him all the time, man.
He's one of the forefathers.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. I learned so much. But I will say, you know, I was real into my alcoholism at that time, you know? So I used to be going over there getting drunk as fuck sometimes. He told me, though, like, man, you got to stop coming over here getting so drunk, man. You got to be. So towards like maybe like the middle or the end of the album, I had stopped drinking.
You did the whole album with him?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't produce everything, but he executive produced it. That's so like amazing. I would like come to him with some songs. Like Peggy produced a beat on there. And he'll, like, you know, tinker it, add some shit. So he mixed in, you know, or guide the direction of it. Like, he'll be like, man, fuck this song. It's not good enough. Use this song, this and that. Even though we worked on the album almost 3 years. Wow. And it was just getting to the point where he still wanted to keep going. Like, we got to keep going. And I was like, man, no, I can't.
Yeah, you got
to
move on.
It
can be hard being trapped in that era for you. You're, like, already on to the next thing at a certain point, at least mentally sometimes.
Yes. Do you find that a problem, too? Or are you, like, you make an album and it's like, I mean, you got this bulk of songs, and then, like, is it a cutoff period for you? Like, how do you know when to stop?
I have to cut off at a certain point, because I'll just keep making songs forever.
It's like a Rubik's Cube with me. Like, I would have, like, a sequence, and I'd be like, oh, but then I'd be like, man, I need a song for girls, or I need something, and then you make that song, then you put it in the sequence, and then it fucks up the whole shit, then you make more songs, and then it never stops.
You'll start with an album, and then the album will change to an entirely other album by the end of it, and so sometimes I'm like, maybe I should have stayed back at the first version of it. And then I'm 11 albums deep in that one album. But for me, I know I have to start cutting myself off when I hit past 100 songs. Because I'll make like 120, 140. Yeah. Last album, I did 125.
I just make 30.
Dude.
30 is my
magic
number.
I'm talking about like full mixed songs. Dialed in. And I'm just like, what am I doing here? At a certain point, I'm like, I got to, for my own mental sanity, I got to keep moving.
The essential tool your workout really needs is Fitbod. It's a fitness app that creates completely personalized workout that adapts as you improve. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, Fitbod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper. You can work out anywhere with or without equipment. And it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you. We all know it's getting sunny out. We all know the weather is changing. You want to have that beach body. You want to look good when you take your shirt off. You got to go with Fitbod. Fitbod creates a personalized workout routine based on your goals, fitness level, and available equipment. It adapts as you improve, so each workout will be challenging and push you to make progress. Fitbod tracks your muscle recovery so you can avoid burnout and keep up your momentum. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/DannyB. That's FITBOD.ME/DannyB. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. And with the season changing, we'll all be doing a lot more, so things can get a lot stressful for everybody. You know, with me, I'm going to be going out on the road, doing some touring, and having someone to talk to always helps for me. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DannyBrown today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DannyBrown. So what do you do with the songs you cut? Do you ever go back and...
No.
Oh, they just gone?
I'm thinking maybe my next album, I'll just put out a bunch of the stuff that's been sitting on the hard drive, because I have, like, one of my biggest songs is called Life Goes On. I made the shit 8 years before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I figured out, okay, I'm going to put this out finally. And I figured out kind of, me and my friend kind of, we both didn't see an agreement with how we wanted it to come out. And eventually we figured things out. And that song changed my life. It's like double platinum at least now. I don't know. The shit went crazy. I think it's diamond in Brazil, 10 times platinum out there. Like, one of those songs that like will change your life. I'm like, how many of these am I sitting on where I have songs that are like 10 years old and could have changed my entire life or still could? Because some, as an artist, our job is to be ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people think that or not, that's really like, you know, even a guy like me, people are like, you're not even an artist. You know, they look at me, they're like, you're a clown.
You're a fucking
more
artist.
Of a circus clown. But I'm saying like, my job is to be that far ahead of the curve. And I think you were too with, well, obviously you are, but I'm saying even with your style, you know, it's like the tight pants, all that. I read something about you trying to get signed to 50 Cent's label. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, 8 years later, he's got the tight pants on.
I know. It's so crazy, man.
Yeah, he like... thought you didn't fit, but all of a sudden, like, he changes up, you know. But you're already on to the next thing by that point. Tight pants are no longer cool. As an artist, we're the tastemakers. We're ahead of the curve. We're deciding what we like, and we don't give a fuck what people think. And then ultimately, they catch on or don't. But along the journey of our different choices, people do catch on to some of them. You know?
Yeah, I know. People always bring up that 50 Cent thing. And it was, to be honest, I when I look back on it now, I think it was more of a blessing than
it
anything.
It is. That's your destiny.
Because if it would have happened, who knows where I would be at now.
Right.
You know? And it's almost like, I learned so much. That was like my first time being on a tour. Like, they took me on tour with them. So just even, I was seeing how the industry worked and what it took and all that shit. So I learned so much. I lived with Yayo for like a year.
Crazy.
And just being able, I never had the experience of having a studio inside of a house. So being able to just wake up and be able to work on music, that was like everything for me, man. So I look at it more of like, it's not a negative thing to me, man. I'm more than anything, I'm so happy he didn't sign me, man. Because who knows? I'd probably be done already right now, you know? Yeah. And I knew hip-hop was changing too. Mm-hmm. It was changing so fast. And you know, the old guard still know shit they weigh. They know how shit was. And it was like the time when like Lil B was coming out and Future, and I'm like, this shit is changing, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and So, but even 50 Cent, he's still killing it. He just did like a whole huge ass tour and
shit.
And
he's so fucking funny, bro. He's such a good troll.
Mm-hmm.
He trolls such a high level.
That's really him. That's not like, that's how he is normally. Like, so just being around him. So I look at that more like a blessing more than anything, man. So.
Well, and that's the thing. One thing I think about with your music and why I tip my hat to you and have so much respect for you is, there's only one Danny Brown. There's only one person who sounds like you. And I think for me, I have a similar thing going on for me, but also I'm trying to figure out ways to make it so it can be more digestible at times for my style. Yeah. I'm not saying your style needs that, but for me, I'm like, sometimes how do I make it a little sweeter so it's not so harsh on the ears, which isn't necessarily something anything I'm talking about yourself.
No, I definitely struggle with that.
I know. I'm like, this shit kind of can hurt people's ears. I got to try to figure out how to make it a little more, you know, molasses-y,
because
a little more sugar-coated.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the music business.
Yeah.
You know, we can make shit that we love, but I feel like when you've been making music for a long time, you like, your ears are a lot more mature than an average listener. So shit that I make that I probably love, motherfuckers hear that shit, be like, oh, whatever. Like, my biggest grown up, I made that song in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's like one of my biggest songs.
And
you
that's
know?
What it was supposed to be. It was just like, you don't even have to try. And that's when you're getting into that state, it's like, that's destiny. You're not going against the grain. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, that was supposed to happen. And you just shit it out.
So even with you, when you were saying you were like doing a lot of like improvised stuff, like, you know, I feel like that's like catching. Like, I've actually had some songs where I, you know, just was too fucked up to even write. And now it's just easier, because back in the day, we was recording on fucking ADATs and shit like that, so you couldn't just go punch and punch. Yeah. Now it's so easy to just fucking punch shit. But I actually love the writing aspect of making music. Like, what is, like, do you like the writing shit more, or do you like doing the improvised shit more?
I think for me, it's a mixture of the two. I consider myself a storyteller first and foremost, so for me, whatever the means are, whether it's directing a music video or it's, you know, because with the music videos, I'm able to tell a different type of story. You kind of are limited with lyrics, how far you can tell a story. But the thing that's so great about music is it's so instantaneous. People either feel it or they don't immediately. And you can tell much more of a story with the feelings you're portraying beyond just the lyrics. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It goes so much deeper. It's the emotion that's felt. There's not enough words to be able to describe how you feel. And with music, we take it further with emotion and with the way that rhythm plays a factor. So for me, the story is the most important part. Doesn't matter what medium. Like, I just started writing a book.
Oh, wow.
I wrote a 128-page graphic novel like that came out like a year or two ago. I do whatever medium is necessary for the story. Mm-hmm. So for me, I love writing, but also there's nothing better than just the raw, just pouring out your heart and soul and seeing what comes out, because you don't even write the music at that point. It writes itself.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like tailor around that. Okay, here's some good moments, but like, what am I trying to say here? Or what is this story that's... As an artist, our job isn't really to write stuff. We're basically a creative vessel. We have these antennas, you know, and we're fine-tuning mm-hmm. the antennas. We didn't come up with anything.
I agree with you.
The shit's just floating is there, and that's why people have the same ideas. Like, you ripped this idea. I never seen this thing in my life, bro. The ideas already exist. We're just... It's how fine-tuned your antennas are, and you're picking up. I have pretty high antennas. Sometimes they're picking up crazy stuff. Sometimes my antennas are not really the greatest either, or they're picking up shit that people already did 100 times. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, for us, we don't actually make this stuff. We're just there that day, and we're working that day, and we're mm-hmm. the conduit to it, you know?
Yeah, I had read a book, and it was like a songwriting book, which I would say motherfuckers should never do, man. But I was reading it, so they was like, man, you got
to
write the...
It's like a How to Get Rich
thing. Yeah, the first thing that come to your head and all this kind of shit.
But it helped you? What were the main takeaways?
No, it didn't help me at all. The most, the one thing it did help, and it was saying that the best time to probably to write a song is when you don't feel like writing a song.
There you go.
It's like pressuring through that, and just like, because that's how you become professional at it. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed that the times where I don't think where I don't feel so creative or just not inspired in some sense, and then I just sit down and try to make some shit, I come up with some dope ass shit, and it makes my entire day so much more better.
Right.
Like, oh shit, I just feel so good, and like, oh shit, you go to bed tonight and you feel great about it, man. So I have been doing that, making shit, because sometimes, you know, you're inspired by shit, man, and you just make shit, and I feel like it ends up coming out like what you were inspired by sometimes. Yeah, I went on a long binge of not listening to music just so I wouldn't sound like anything else.
Yeah.
But like you say, you still come up with these ideas, and it's somebody that did that shit before. You just think you're being so fucking creative in that shit.
Well, I don't listen to music either. So for me, I don't have Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, whatever. So I'm pretty much, ignorance is bliss. But mm-hmm. it's like you said, it's like, you're not going to reinvent the wheel here. But it allows you to at least, and you can't escape music, right? Because if you go into the Uber, you're at a restaurant, music's playing always. So you're still being influenced whether you like it or not. But that being said, it's like trying to at least be a little bit less obvious with it, or deciding, you know, sometimes influence isn't even what you like, it's what you don't like. And you're like, I don't want to make anything like what's playing on the music right
definitely.
Now. But you were talking about right before that, you were saying, what exactly?
I don't remember.
Can't remember. My brain is so fried. I slept 4 hours last night.
Oh shit! Sorry,
what,
bro.
What was? I had a interesting point though. Does anyone remember?
No, I have.
Oh, you were talking about
songwriting books and shit. That shit don't help. I mean, it just you either got it or you don't, man. I feel like it's just like to be good at writing songs is to write fucking songs.
The thing, what I was gonna say was, you know, when you are really in a dark place or when you're really in your worst moments, I feel like music's the friend that's always there for you. And so for me, so much of my success as an artist has been taking my most negative moments and harnessing and yielding that energy into something very positive. So I'll go to the studio feeling so depressed, so broken, and I'll leave the studio at literally 6, 7 a.m. with the finished song, and I'm literally in the studio mixing the final tweaks on it, dancing around, couldn't be more excited, gone from the worst day of my life to the best day of my life. And that's why I'm like, music's always there for you. It's the one friend who's always like, you could go to when you're in your deepest, darkest slump. And so there's nothing more precious than that, turning something that's so such a dark moment in your life into something that you can share and not just color your own life, but bring color to other people's darkness.
Yeah, for others. That's what I was about to say. I realized that's why I make music. Like, it was a time in my life where I just was like, I don't even know why I'm even doing this shit. Like, I don't, what the fuck am I doing?
What happened? You were just like, you were about to leave it?
I mean, you just, I don't know. I mean, but I was a fucking drug addict. You know what I'm saying? I was just, you know.
Have you always felt like you've been a drug addict since you were pretty young? What is the journey with that? And not that we need to overspeak it, because you probably talk about it so much to your own audience.
I mean, it's just like anybody else. You start out as a kid and it's just something fun. You smoking weed and, you know, and I didn't start really experimenting more and more with, you know, harder drugs until I became an artist, pretty much, and just touring and the type of company that's around you and shit like that. And it just got to the point, it just went on for too long. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. Because like I say, it started out as partying. And then before you know it, you're just doing shit by yourself and you're not even partying. You're just doing it and you're just depressed. You just think. So I think that played a lot into it, you know, where I was feeling like it was an escape and it wasn't doing nothing but putting me deeper into a hole. You know? So now, but what I was saying is that now, so I just felt like I think, you know, just being a fucking drug addict and drinking a lot and all that shit, you lose a bit of yourself.
For sure.
You know? So I just didn't know who I was anymore at that point. Yeah. But now it's like, I realized the reason why I make music is, like you say, we're a vessel and God gave me this talent, you know, to use it to make other people happy. So even though I wrote so many songs about depression and to make people feel sad, but the crazy part about that is that I get messages from people all the time. Literally yesterday, I was just talking to somebody and they was telling me how some of my darkest music made them feel better because they feel like they wasn't alone with the shit that they went through. Yeah. Now I'm trying to change it up a bit. I want to make more music.
Well, you already did that. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You can't get pigeonholed into doing one thing. Otherwise, why even do it? You already did that shit.
Yeah, I want to make music to make people happy. So now, like I say, I feel like that's my... Like I even just having that fucking whole thought process, like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It ain't mine to decide. I didn't get, like you say, I don't know where I get this shit from. So it ain't mine.
It's out of your power.
It's not mine.
Music chose you. Yeah. You didn't even choose music. That's how it's been for me, at least, where I'm like, I didn't try to get my first record deal. Someone came to me and I was like, you can make money doing this shit? Like, same with making videos. I'm like, I just did that to entertain myself and entertain my friends. When I was making videos as a kid, we didn't even know you could export out the videos.
Oh, shit.
We just did it to laugh. You know what I mean? And if you really love something and you could do it at the highest level you can, and the money will come 10 years later after sleeping on couches and whatnot. But I will say this about addiction. For me, it's been one of my biggest weaknesses. And I realized that you can turn your weaknesses into a superpower. For me, as an addict, it's like I've spent so much of my life just being... basically a prisoner to the drugs. You know what I mean? Exactly. It's like, you're just like, you're stuck consuming just to feel normal. And as I've learned how to channel it into other things, it's about getting addiction doesn't just dissipate. It hops. You have to switch the addictions to the other things. Knowing, okay, you're an addict. It's like, okay, how do I use that to your advantage? So for me, it's like, okay, not to celebrate workaholism, but like ultimately I work like 15 to 18 hour days. Why? Because I'm an addict and I'm able to channel my addiction to being a workaholic. But what's great is not just some job where I'm trying to fill my pockets as much as possible, but I can make art to actually inspire people, to help people, to make people laugh, to make people cry, whatever it may be. So for me, it's been such a big thing to be able to learn how to be addicted to the right things. So lately I've been addicted to working out. I run at least four miles every day. I go and work out if I have time. If I don't, and I'm traveling on a plane or whatever, then the next day I wake up and do it. And the days that I don't want to do it, those are the days where when I push myself, that's when I'm really making those like next steps in the right direction. When you don't want to be there, like the studio, you know what I mean? It's like, that's when you really are like making the gains of it. But for me personally, getting addicted to the right things has been such a magical thing, because then now I have this crazy thing where it's like, I could just keep going. And instead of keep going on the next drug or the next high, it's making the next art piece.
Yeah,
I can be constantly juggling 1,000 things and be like, okay, well, I'm burnt on this one. I'm going to switch over and switch gears to this one. And it's become something where I'm like, that weakness that was my biggest flaw is now the thing that like can make you rich, the thing that can make you a legend, the thing that can make you inspire the world and make the world a little bit of a better place without being too hokey and cheesy about it.
But that's the cool shit about you, man, is that you have so many fucking different creative outlets. So I
feel lucky, man.
And that's, like you said, that probably comes from the workaholism, though. Like, for me, sure. I just think that's the only thing I'm good at is music. Like, I don't know. I can't do shit else.
But
you
have a podcast. Are you like a pro video gamer now?
Fuck no. I wish. I can't play video games for shit, man.
But you do it as a job partially, right? That means you're professional at it. You don't have to be good.
I don't make no fucking money from it. Okay. If anything, I'd spend money doing that shit. Well, you know?
There you go. I mean, that's the most thing with any kind of like side gigs, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to lose money on a lot of them, and then every so often you'll get one that actually makes it. But for me, like, I couldn't just do one thing because I always am pushing myself to the brink of burnout, and I do such extreme levels with whatever it is that like I have to keep switching it up. Otherwise I would be so over anything. I can't do one thing for too long. Like
no,
right now,
that's what I'm saying. That's the greatest shit for you, man. Because like even me, I get burnt out on music and he's like, man, nothing you making is dope. And it's like, what do I do? But for me, I always just be like, fuck it. I guess it's time for me to live life.
Right.
And then
that's
I just
thing.
Start
you need
doing
some stories
shit.
To
yeah,
tell
then
about.
I just start doing shit or going to hang out. Like I say, I don't really like traveling unless I'm getting paid to, but I do realize that it is beneficial in some way to just go do shit. Cause I was so long spent sitting in my fucking basement getting high and shit, you know? So now I am trying to do more and go traveling and go see shit. Cause I just wrote a song in fucking Vegas, just sitting in a hotel room. And it's one of those things where you lay in bed and shit, and then one line pop up and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
If I don't write this line down, I'm gonna forget it and then I'm gonna be pissed. So then I get up, I write the one line down. Then before I know it, I got three more bars to go to that line and I'm like, fuck it, let me get up and write this.
I love it.
Then now I'm up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck it.
The brain is running too, it's hard to go to sleep after that point.
Then I was like, I think I feel a little hungry. Let me get some food. I got some food and I was like, fuck. And before I knew it, I was just waiting on fucking room service to bring the food. I had fucking two verses done. I was like, fuck. So I got to figure it out. I got my fucking mic is in a fucking shop, so I haven't been able to record shit. So I just been fucking just making beats and stashing stuff and just writing a song, putting it up. Because I usually put out an album like every 2 years, but I want to, now since I'm fucking sober, it's like I got to put out an album every year. Fuck that, man. I got to work, man. I want to just stay. Because like I say, we don't know when it should. I feel like once I'm done with writing songs, that's probably when I'm gonna fucking die. Like, this is what's been giving me life all this time. Like, now I just kind of realize that shit.
Well, with traveling, the thing I notice is, for me, someone who lives a very extreme lifestyle and I'm always pushing myself to the brink of burnout, I'm burning the candle at both ends always. But when I'm constantly in a new place, when I'm constantly getting new inspiration from culture, food, people, whatever it is that's around me, music that's playing in the radio as I'm driving in a taxi in Hong Kong like a couple weeks ago, it's like, that keeps me so excited and inspired. I don't really feel like I burn out. My burnout points are only when my body physically gets sick and I hit this point of like, okay, you need to just chill out. Like, I got crazy sick in China where I was like, I got to go to the Great Wall of China today, but I'm feeling real fucking sick. But like, the thing is, traveling this much, like, it keeps me so excited and so juiced on creation. So I'm never like, there's never a dull moment. There's never a moment where I'm like, oh man, I don't feel inspired. I'm like, look outside, no, motherfucker. Like, this shit is crazy.
I think for me, when I'm traveling, like going to like all these different countries and shit, what inspires me the most is hearing the music that they listen to.
Yeah,
because you get, like, you just went around all these crazy, you hear so many different sounds.
I'm like, turn up the radio. Yeah. They sometimes think I'm like telling them to turn. I'm like, no, turn it up louder.
Yeah, like, and just seeing the culture and the shit that they into it, I always come back home from that and be like, oh shit, there's some shit going on. You know, or just seeing like new shit bubbling under the ground and some shit, and you be like, oh shit, this shit about to crack. Like, I'm just being able to be in it. So I do love that part of traveling, being able just to hear different music and shit. Because, I mean, hip-hop guys, we always like, I'm going to sample that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's always what we're thinking about. We're going to sample that shit.
And now you got Shazam.
I know.
So when it's hard to figure it out. Like, I was just recently in Tbilisi, Georgia, and I took this ride up to Kazbegi, which is like 6 miles from the Russian border. So I was Eastern Bloc, and I'm going out in the middle of a snowstorm, and like, all the cars are like breaking down. It's like literally points of it you can't even see outside the windows. It's just blizzard, full white. There's like police cars driving through trying to help people. There's like traffic jams of cars stuck. And I'm just like on this crazy adventure. And then the guy's playing like the craziest rave music from the Eastern Bloc in Europe. And I was like, this shit is crazy. I'm like, turn it up. And he's like, thought I meant like, turn it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, crank that shit. It was the hardest music I ever heard. And I didn't Shazam it or anything. My internet wasn't working at the time, but it was because I was so off the grid. But it was like, that was some of the best music I've heard in years. And I was like, what the hell is this shit?
Mm-hmm. That's how I got up on cumbia music. I first heard that shit. I'm like, this is like fucking Mexican screw music? Like, what the fuck is this shit? That shit sound demonic. And I was like, this shit is fucking dope. But just hearing different genres, like subgenres of shit, man, that is the most inspiring thing about traveling for me. I mean, obviously outside of the States, because we all listen to the same shit, kind of. And I feel like just with the fucking internet, it made just the world smaller. So you just kind of get the vibe of what everybody. But I've been fucking going back and listening to like old 90s tapes of like Memphis rap. I've been on that. I think everybody, like we say with the Beatles, everybody in hip hop has one of those phases too. But I want to get to the point where everything I hear is music. Because I'm only sampling shit that's other songs. Like, when I was working with Peggy, like, a motherfucker could be playing ping pong.
Right.
And that motherfucker would just be like, oh, shit, this good percussion. And yeah. Just fucking record that shit and make a beat out of that shit.
I used to do that exclusively. My first stuff, I was really hands-on with producing. I would literally just go to the kitchen, sample the eggs cracking, the toaster. I would use the oven. I would use vacuum cleaners, air compressors for bass, my dog barking, whatever it was around. That would make sound, the clock, whatever. And that music was so innovative and it was so psychedelic and raw. I want to go back to that at some point. But as I became more and more into like the major label system and the and kind of moving into music where it's tied to commerce, which for me, it's always art first. But ultimately, you do want it to connect. You do want it to be able to be something people can digest. Otherwise, you're going to dedicate your life to something and not be able to make any impact and inspire people, you know. But ultimately, the more I went in the direction of like, okay, this is kind of like, turns into a job.
Yeah.
And I always see it as art first, you know what I mean? But no matter what, you can't help that this is just the reality. I got to be able to make it so that I can afford to make the next album, so I can afford to make the next music video. So there's a pressure that's tied to that. So I'm like, maybe I'll just use some normal instruments. But ultimately, as I look back, I'm like, that music was so much more interesting. It was so much more innovative. I need to go back and blend the two because, like you're saying with him, it's like, everything is music.
Yeah, everything is music.
If it makes sound, you can use it as an instrument.
All right. On that note, we're about to get up out of here, man. Let's spin the wheel one time. Thank you so much for coming through, man. We can talk music fucking all day. We definitely got to kick it later, man.
Yeah.
We definitely got to talk.
We got to get some good food, bro. What's the best spot out here? You got, you know, any good barbecue? Or you're vegan, right?
Fuck no.
I'm joking.
I eat bacon. All right. The Opera. I think the Opera is like some baller shit.
That's for rich people, bro. Yeah, only, exclusively.
I've never been to the opera, but we in Detroit, they have the opera house, and I lived not too far from there. And every time I would like, they have like an opera or something going on, I would just see motherfuckers pulling up on like Rolls Royces and like Bentleys and shit. And I think just for me, just looking at that is like, oh shit, I just want to go to that shit to feel rich or just be on some baller shit. But the opera is like the first of music in general. Right. Like, I've watched like a lot of old documentaries. The funny part too is, I seen a documentary about, they talked about how many motherfuckers died playing in the operas and shit from falling in the pit. Like, wow. Motherfuckers be on
that's
stage.
That's crazy. They're hardcore. Because
you know that shit is fucking too far, like where the orchestra and shit is at, and you fucking...
That's some real punk rock shit, right? They're willing stage, to die for this.
And you just stepped a little bit too far, and you fucking land on a fucking a violin, you know what I'm saying, and impale yourself or some shit. So, yeah, a lot of motherfuckers died in operas and shit falling off stage, man. So,
I did not know that, yeah, man. That's, I love to hear that.
That's some opera lore.
That takes it to the next level.
Yeah, because that pit, that's up now. If I go to opera, that's all I'm gonna be thinking, like, am I gonna see a nigga die in this bitch? So that is my goal, to go to an opera and hopefully a nigga fall off stage into the pit. But thank you so much for coming through, talking
pleasure.
To you, man. It's so great, man. Dog, we definitely gonna kick it later, man. But yeah, love y'all motherfuckers, man. See y'all. Shouts out Oliver Tree, man. You got some shit you want to plug?
Just on my world tour right now, going through a couple last stops, and also I'm a motherfucking DJ now.
Yeah, that's right.
I put my live show together. It's a mixture of a movie, TV show, concert, play. I got WWE wrestling, karate moves.
Oh, shit.
I mixed in stand-up comedy, motivational speaking, and, of course, signature belly dance moves. But now I'm a fucking DJ. I've been putting this audiovisual show together, and this shit is next level. I spent a year and a half working on it secretly, and now even this week I've been doing 15, 16-hour days just putting together the audio, the visual, chopping it up. It's like every day I add more and more stuff to it, but it's not just like, I go there and I push play. I produce every millisecond, every little beat. And this shit, I have over 700 and I believe 87 layers now of different shit chopped up. I'm using so much different things, source material, pulling from a million different things. And the transitions have like 20 layers. The shit is like, I'm trying to push the idea of what a DJ can be and mixing performance art. And I got like 3D. I was wearing the mocap suit with the dots.
Oh shit.
And I choreographed all my dance moves. And so you see 3D renders of myself doing dance moves while I'm matching it on stage and just trying to take the idea to the next level. So having fun with it. But yeah, there's nothing really to plug. I'm just hyped.
Yeah.
I'm hyped on this
shit. All right. Definitely go check my homie out, man. We'll see y'all, man. Love y'all motherfuckers. Peace, man.